Our technical director is Mike Biggs. For more information about the show, to listen to or download archived episodes, log on to flashpoints.net or visit our SoundCloud page at soundcloud.com/flashpoints. For questions or comments about Flashpoints, you can contact Dennis at dennisjbernstein@gmail.com. Thank you for listening.
Good morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland. At 11:30 is Art Focus. Art Focus presents Rodin, The Human Experience, now showing at the Portland Art Museum. And coming up next is Stage and Studio. Stage and Studio will take a look at Passon Art's presentation of the Gospel of Loving Kindness, plus a preview of Unconscious Bias, Achieving Gender Equity Symposium 2017. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you're not a member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate. Stage and Studio has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from PD Expendables, Stage and Studio Supplies. PD Expendables sells and rents to film and theater production, from gel and globes to paint and lights, featuring the latest Airy LED lights. They can be reached at 503-887-5880 or pdexpendables.com.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Grendel's, a neighborhood coffee house offering locally roasted coffee, sandwiches for breakfast and lunch, and Wi-Fi. Proud to support KBOO, Grendel's is open every day at East Burnside and 8th. Information at 503-595-9550 or facebook.com/Grendel's Coffee House.
Welcome to Stage and Studio. I'm James Dixon. On today's show, we discuss Gospel of Loving Kindness, written by Marcus Gardley and directed by Jerry Foster at Passon Art, a theater company. Gospel of Loving Kindness was inspired by the tragic death of a 15-year-old Hadia Pendleton, who was shot in her Chicago neighborhood after performing with her high school drill team at the presidential inauguration in 2014. In Gospel of Loving Kindness, Gardley transforms Hadia's tragedy into the story of a teenage boy whose promising future is snuffed out by another young man. Later in the segment, we chat with Jane Vogel with Age and Equity in the Arts to discuss the Unconscious Bias Achieving Gender Equity Symposium 2017, hosted at Portland State University. This event will explore how unconscious bias influences our behavior and impacts our lives and the arts we create. Stay with us for Stage and Studio and join the discussion. I'm James Dixon. Joining me in the KBOO studio today, Jerry Foster with Gospel Love and Kindness, which is being produced at Passon Art Theater Company. Jerry Foster is the director of the show, which kicks off at Passon Art Theater Company coming up next month. Welcome to Stage and Studio. Jerry, for those whom are unfamiliar, could you tell us about Passon Art Theater Company, your history and your mission statement?
Yes, thank you, James. Passon Art is the oldest producing African-American theater company in Oregon, which was established in 1984. And our mission is to entertain, educate, and inspire artists, as well as theater goers and, you know, others, while highlighting issues that impact our community. And also, we celebrate our history and culture.
That sounds amazing, actually. So, and are there any other theater companies that are tackling African-American theater in Portland that you're aware of?
You know, there are various independent companies that are out there that come up. And then, you know, and then there are just individuals who, African-American individuals, who put together productions and shows of that nature.
Right.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about what excites you about producing this play? What do you know about the playwright, Marcus Gardley?
Well, first of all, you know, when we're talking about this play, the Gospel of Loving Kindness, we have to talk about the overall project. And it's one of three projects that we have for our season, which is called the Our Sons Project.
Oh, nice.
And we always felt that the arts have, you know, historically served as a catalyst to bridge the gap among people, you know, for not only entertainment, but to increase the awareness of culture and highlight important issues that impact members of our community. And it is within this tradition that Passing Art is presenting the Our Sons Project, Stand for Peace, that consists of three-part art-impacting events, which, matter of fact, kicked off with the art exhibit last week, last Friday, February the 13th, which runs through April 2nd. And as we talk about that, you know, we talk about that, how a lot of us are aware of the impact of gun violence on our youth, as well as families and communities, how violence impacts all of us, regardless of our race, ethnicity, or culture. We also feel that this project will provide a forum for community members to come together collectively to identify positive solutions, actions, as well as to address the so-called epidemic in our communities through frank discussions and collaborations, problem solving, and, you know, new connections. For this Our Songs Project, one of the Gospel Love and Kindness is the third part of that project. Oh,
okay.
The first part was the Ken Killing Ken exhibit, which is by artist James Pate. Which is what I alluded to that open. And Mr. Pate will be in town this week. Thursday at the North Portland Library, where he'll be talking about the work and also being a part of that community dialogue section. The community dialogue is the second part that deals with where we sit and gather people together and talk about those issues. And then with Gospel Love and Kindness, you know, when I first heard about the Ken Killing Ken or the KKK exhibit, I said, you know, it would be great to bring along a play that can coincide with that, that talk about those issues. And we always talk about the issues of what a the victims, you know, but there are more than just one victim. It's the one that perpetrated it, the one that was actually killed in this sense, as well as we don't talk about the mothers, you know, that it really affect. I mean, here in this play, you have two young men from the same neighborhood, so to speak, where one mother has pushed him to go outside the community and want to make things better for him by sending him to the best schools. And then you have the other who is still caught up in the streets aspect of the community and the neighborhood and how their lives intersect. One mother loses her son to violence. The other mother loses her son to violence. Now, one son will not be able to come back, but here's another son that may go to jail and not be able to come out again, you know?
That's right.
And so those particular issues, you know, affect the whole community as a whole, you know, not only the mothers, but the friends and relatives and other extended family members.
It's interesting you talk about that because I mean, it makes me think about the 13th documentary when they talk about that the 13th Amendment is abolished and that slavery has ended. And right in the beginning, you have Obama talking about how 25% of the world's prisoners are in America's prisons and how a large portion of our prison system is pretty much indentured servitude. You know, people come in, they have all this restitution they have to pay. And then if they don't pay it, they're stuck in there and they're making like below minimum wage and it's virtually impossible for them to get out. It's pretty complicated and pretty telling when these things happen, how people just get stuck in that system and they don't really, it's really hard for them to recover afterward.
Yeah.
Passing Art, a theater company, is a black theater company, which is one of few, if not the only, and many other theater companies are continuing discussions about diversity in the arts. Is this an important topic for you? And if so, what is unique about the theater experience that Passing Art provides?
Well, I think we've been doing the same type of work that we've done since, you know, since its inception, you know, to bring about the Black experience, you know, and to share that. When you're thinking of, when you're talking about theater and the history of Black theater, mm-hmm. you have to think about why did it come around? Why was it needed? African Americans had always been stereotyped on the stage. Mm-hmm. You know, you had characters like, for lack of a better example, Step and Fetcher, which was one of those characters. But however, this the man that played him was actually a brilliant man. Mm-hmm. You know, you had vaudeville where you had leading actors who were actually out there doing the work, but yet and still they were trying to see how to shape it. The first African-American theater company was the African Grove Theater Company in New York, 1824. And it came out of James Hewitt and Ira Aldrich, who were both great Shakespearean actors. Mm-hmm. And they were performing in backyards, and they were performed to a large, diverse crowd. Mm-hmm. Now, remember I said diverse crowd.
Right.
And so they saw the kind of impact that was going on, and they felt that this was a way to be able to try to move about and shape what people's views of what African Americans are. And they opened the African Grove Theater Company, and they had a lot of trouble with those other companies that were already well established, because when they did a play, they drew a huge audience, both Black and white. And so they would run up against oppositions by those other companies sending down hecklers to go in, and hecklers would come into the theater, and while the performance was going on, they would try to disrupt the performance, but that didn't happen. So what Ira Aldridge and those guys did was, instead of banning those guys from the play, from the theater, mm-hmm. they set a place up in the back for them to sit and let them heckle from the back, while those who wanted to enjoy the production would be there and sit in the front of the stage. Mm-hmm. And so when that didn't work to close them down, then the local law would ascend on them. Mm-hmm. And actors would be arrested. And while they were arrested and being pulled off the stage, they would still be in character.
Oh, wow.
Okay, and then so the show would close at that point, but then once those actors got out of jail, they would come back and the show would presume on another day from right. that point on.
That's amazing.
And so it was an outlet, particularly, you know, during the 50s, the 40s and 50s, it became an outlet because a lot of actors of color was not allowed on Broadway shows,
right?
You know, and so they had to do a lot of their own off-Broadway show. There was quite a few companies that was formed during that time, and even on down through the 60s and the 70s. Matter of fact, when Passing Art was first formed, there were actually three theater companies, Black theater companies in the city. Mm-hmm. There was the Portland Black Repertory Theater Company that came out of actors from Portland State University, and they formed the Portland Black Repertory Theater. Then there was Sojourner Truth Theater Company, mm-hmm. which did a lot of works in the school as well as some shows in the community. And then there's Passing Art.
Oh, wow, that is amazing. You're listening to Stage and Studio. I'm James Dixon, and joining us today is Jerry Foster, Director for Gospel, Love, and Kindness at Passing Art, a theater company. So now that we're talking about diversity arts, like, so I'm an actor, I'm a performer, and a lot of times, I get a lot of offers. It's pretty easy to get work when you're a male of color in this town, because there's not as much representation on stage for people of color. What would you say to young aspiring kids of color or teens of color that want to get involved in the arts, and how they can get involved and where they can do that? Is that something you guys do at Passing Art Theater Company, like offer internships or any type of mentorship or anything like that?
I think what has to happen is one has to have that desire, because the work itself is great work. But if you're not into the mainstream, then you're not, you know, you're going to struggle.
Yeah.
You know, and you have to be willing to make that sacrifice in order to move forward with it. There are always opportunities. You know, I ask people all the time, have you ever acted before? And the answer I get is no. Well, you know, have you threw a temper tantrum? You know, have you manipulated your way to getting what you want?
Right.
All that was acting.
Right.
You know, and I think that there are programs around that you can, that one can get involved in. Not only is Passing Art, but there are other theater companies around town, like Maverick Stage, for example, that do a lot of work out of Northeast Portland with the young kids, you know. And mm-hmm. We're talking about grade schoolers and mm-hmm. middle schoolers and some high schools, you know, students. And so, you know, there are avenues out there. You just have to want it. Mm-hmm. And I would say that if you really want to find out what's going on, attend a play.
Right.
I'll get your mom and dad to attend a play and take you, mm-hmm. you know, then you're able to ask questions from that, from what you see.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. And some people talk about accessibility as far as the cost. I mean, there's a lot of theater companies. You can pay anywhere from 15 to 70 or 80 bucks to see a show. But I like to remind people now that we're on the air, for people that are getting public assistance, that are lower income or they have the Arts for All program. And that's something I tell people about all the time when they say they can't afford it. So there's over 100 arts organizations that accept that. Some small organizations can't accept it, but a lot of places have pay what you will night, that type of thing. So there's definitely opportunities for people to enjoy theater here in Portland. So where can we find ticket information about the show?
You can go to www.passingart.net, and there's a button there that will take you to actually pay for the tickets, but also too, the information is online at the website itself. One of the things that we wanted to do with the Our Sons project is to make it accessible to everyone. Mm-hmm. Whereas the art exhibit itself, which runs, like I say, until April 2nd, Wednesday through Friday from 3 to 7, and then Saturday and Sundays from 2 to 7, that's free. Mm-hmm. You know, most art galleries you go to is not free, you know.
Right.
But this one is free because we think it's important for people to get in and see this. And also, too, for the Gospel of Loving Kindness, if you go online, we do have a special pay what you can rate, or minimum rate mm-hmm. online of $5, but you have to purchase your tickets online for that to happen. And that's only for the first two weekends of the play.
Mm-hmm. All right. So you're listening to Stage and Studio, and we have been talking to Jerry Foster, director for Tender Loving Kindness, being produced at Passing Art, a theater company. Passing Art, a theater company, is located at the Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center, located at 5340 North Interstate Avenue, and runs through March 10th through April 9th. For ticket information, visit their website at www.passinart.net. That's PASSINART.net. Thank you for joining us. Break a leg. Next, we have Jane Vogel with Age and Equity in the Arts. Stay tuned. You're listening to Stage and Studio. I'm James Dixon, and joining us is Jane Vogel with Age and Equity in the Arts. Age and Equity in the Arts is hosting the Unconscious Bias Achieving Gender Equity Symposium 2017, hosted at Portland State University. Hello, Jane, are you there?
I'm here, James. Hello, good morning.
Good morning. Can you tell us, give us a quick outline of the Unconscious Bias event that you're putting on?
Yes, I'd love to. So Age and Gender Equity is a social justice organization that I founded, and we are putting on a symposium on unconscious bias this weekend. And I define unconscious bias as the difference between what we say we intend to do and what we actually do. And most of us intend to be inclusive and open-minded and fair, and yet if we really look at the systems in which we operate and the systems we support, they really exclude people of color, women, older people, people with disabilities, LGBTQIA. So what we want to do is raise some awareness about this. We're not coming to this symposium with answers. I don't believe that most of us have answers. Mm-hmm. What I want to do is create a safe space where people from all different walks of life can come together and ask a lot of questions of each other, of themselves, and co-create new narratives, new ideas for transformation and action. And there will be a lot of people from the theater, from the performing arts industry there, but there will be people from other industries and non-industries as well.
You know, it's interesting to hear you say that, because I always, and discussions about equity, I always bring up the term intersectionality. And so you're talking about artists and people that work in the arts industry and other entities coming together. And the reason I ask is because when we were talking about feminism and misogyny, be it active or passive, I mean, the conversation is really the same regardless of what industry we're working in, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I don't compartmentalize. I know that we're often taught to compartmentalize and to think in a linear fashion, but I don't. I think that humanity is more like a tapestry, and we're all threads of that tapestry. Mm-hmm. And every thread is unique, and every thread has its own story. And what we need to do is we need to be more aware of how to listen to each other, how to be open to each other's uniquenesses. I don't believe that we can deal with race or gender or anything in and of itself. It has to be intersectional.
Mm-hmm. So what is the significance of this event? What can the participants expect when they arrive at the event this weekend? It's a two-day event, correct?
It is. It's a two-day event. We have, on Friday night, we have a celebration, and our two keynote speakers will be talking, and then we will have LaRonda Steele and her band.
I love her.
Performing. Isn't she fantastic?
Yeah.
What a way to celebrate this event and, you know, the underpinnings of why we are coming together to really facilitate change. So that'll happen Friday night. Saturday, there will be breakout sessions. We're calling them engagement sessions, where we get into smaller groups and have more opportunity to dialogue with each other. There will be panels. There will be art performances. And then on Saturday night and Sunday, a Sunday matinee, we will have Motherland, a solo show by written and performed by Manita Gandhi out of Chicago.
Oh, nice.
And it's fantastic work of art, and we're so privileged to have her. And we are sold out for Saturday night. We have a few tickets left for Sunday matinee.
Nice. So with this conversation, how can community members get involved in this discussion surrounding gender equity besides attending this event?
Besides attending this event, what Age and Gender Equity is going to be launching sometime this summer or early fall is, we want to put together a four-track community engagement program that will involve older women, people of color, artistic directors, and get them engaged in conversations. And so this information will be up on our website in a few months. And please, if anyone is interested, you just go to our website, ageinthearts.org. There's a way to contact us, and we're really good about responding very quickly.
So is this the first event of this scale with that you put on with Age and Gender Equity for the Arts? Or, I mean, is this something you do yearly, or is this, I mean, what can we expect with future events?
Well, this is our first symposium. We're barely 3 years old.
Oh, wow. And okay.
Yes, we're a very young organization, but we've already done quite a bit. And a centerpiece of our organization is that we've raised money to give back to theater companies that are committed to bringing women into programming, into directing, into casting. And in 2018, we will include designing into that. And so what we are really trying to do is create more opportunities in the existing structures in theater by having the theater companies take a look at who are they, who are the playwrights, who are the directors, who are the cast, who are the designers, and is there room for more diversity, more inclusiveness in that. And, that's a bit of a rhetorical statement because, yes, there is room. The data shows that we're still way off balance and we need to make changes. And so that is something that we are doing. And we're going, right after the symposium, we will be opening up applications for our second year of offering $30,000 to Portland professional theater companies who are committed to making these changes.
That's amazing. You're listening to Stage and Studio. I'm James Dixon, and joining us today is Jane Vogel with Age and Equity in the Arts. Age and Equity in the Arts is hosting the Unconscious Bias Achieving Gender Equity Symposium 2017, hosted at Portland State University. So once again, where can we find information about this event? It's on your website you mentioned earlier?
It is on the website, ageinthearts.org.
Okay. So, Jane, we've got about, I've got about another minute. I want to ask you a random question. So, yeah. In talking about equity in the arts, I just asked Jerry about this earlier. It seems like there's minimal representation. Well, some would say there's minimal representation for female playwrights, more diverse roles for women on stage in film here in Portland and around the country. What would you say to young aspiring actresses that want to get involved in the arts and really get their hands dirty with this work?
Do it. The arts is the place where healing, transformation, and it's where civilization moves forward. And right now, more than ever, we need young people of mm-hmm. all genders to have the courage to say, we are going to be part of that leadership. The older generations, we've done our thing, and we've done some things well, but we've done a lot of things, not as well as we could have in terms of diversity and inclusiveness. And the data supports this, and it's really up to our young people to take the leadership. And with Age and Gender Equity in the Arts, this is not about old, it's not about women, it's not about theater, it's about social justice. And we have a lot of young people, yourself included, who have been very strong supporters and friends of our organization. And we welcome that. And so my message to young people is, do it. We need you.
Yeah, there's something really amazing about being on stage. And like, I've done shows for children, and And I do shows for all children, but when you see a young kid of color sees another actor of color on stage and meets you for the first time, I mean, it really, it's, you can see it's really life-changing for them in many ways. And I love this work, and I think we can do a lot by being representatives on stage and off stage as administrators and artists. Jane, thank you for joining us today. Thank you so much. If you missed any of this interview, you can listen online later today at kboo.fm/stageandstudio. You can also get posts, you can post events or get previews by joining our Facebook page. And that's it for Stage and Studio today. Thanks for joining us, Jane. Jane's already left. Thanks to engineer Judy Feastall. Till next week, I'm James Dixon with Stage and Studio. Thanks for listening.
With the Clintons, our monthly film series at the Clinton Street Theater. This month, we're celebrating Fat Tuesday on Tuesday, February 28th, with the Les Blank films, Always for Pleasure and Dry Wood. Les Blank sat at the kitchens and on the porches of Creole folk in the Delta to capture their Mardi Gras spirit and traditions to make the film Dry Wood. Les filmed Always for Pleasure, documenting the 1970s carnival celebrations in New Orleans. Again, that's a night of films by Les Blank to celebrate Fat Tuesday, February 28th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
Andy Warhol looks at screen.
My name's Joseph Gallivan, and you're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is Judith Sobel. She's the executive director of the Iris and B. Gerald Kanter Foundation, and she's here to talk about Rodin, the Human Experience. That show is at the Portland Art Museum from